The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the end of today's service, we have sung our last hymn. You're gathering your papers, your purse, if you have children, crayons and Cheerios. You're preparing to leave, thinking about what the afternoon will bring, and you will hear these words, ancient words, time-honored words. Go in peace. Go in peace. Do we leave here in peace? See, the reality is, when you leave here this morning, you'll return home. What will have changed? You might still be waiting for the test results from the doctor's office from last week. The bills might still be piled up on the counter. You're worried about your job, your finances, your RRSP. Will probably still continue. Worry about spouses, children, friends, and family will probably still be there. At the very least, your snow probably won't be shoveled. Go in peace. The good news of Jesus Christ. This is how Mark begins his gospel. The good news. What is the good news for us? Where do we find this peace that passes all understanding? How can we be a good news people when we seem to have the same problems as our neighbors, as the people down the street, in different cities, people who give no concern to Christ, no concern to the church? What is our good news? What sets us apart? Medical tests still come back poorly. Children, spouses, friends, and family members still make bad decisions. Our RRSPs suffer equally. Our dogs run away about the same proportion amount of time. Our children will act up probably equally to others around us. Where is our peace? Where do we find it? We find our peace in Jesus Christ. We find our peace in the love of God made incarnate. Today we begin our Lenten walk with Christ. Christ shows up out of nowhere. John is at the River Jordan baptizing people with a baptism of repentance. Change your ways. Leave the old things behind is what John is saying. Take on a new mantle. Live a new way. Recognize your sinfulness. Recognize your shortcomings. Recognize how you are living outside of God's will. Steer back on track. And Christ shows up, walks through the crowds, wades into the water, and receives the baptism. Immediately he's whisked into the desert for 40 days of temptation and trial. And while Mark goes to no great length to explain what this is, Matthew and Luke do. In the desert, when Christ is at his lowest, he is famished, he is thirsty, he is isolated, Satan shows up. And Satan offers him the great worldly temptations. Power, riches, fame. Feed yourself. Test God. Have all the power of the world, what Satan says to Christ. And Christ rebukes Satan, girds himself up, and begins his public ministry. He begins to call his disciples. He begins to travel the countryside. He begins to preach the things of God. As we hear Mark, the first things of God that Christ preaches is hear the good news and repent. Change your ways. Examine your life. Do a U-turn if need be, or maybe just a minor correction, but get yourself onto the royal highway. There's a story about a man that wanted to be holy. So this man searched out the most holy person he could find. He found one of these monks living in some faraway country with a weird name like Kathmandu. And this monk was one of those aesthetic monks. The large beard, the scruffy hair, the torn clothes, who seemed to have no care for humanity or reality around him. He lived in a cave high up on a mountain. The young man travels up the mountain, comes to the cave and says to the monk, "How can I be holy, O gracious and wise one?" The monk says to the young man, "That's easy. Two words." "What are they?" the young man says, expecting some great insight into righteousness and knowledge and epistemology. The monk scratches his beard and says to the young man, "Right choices." "Oh," the man says, "well, how do I make right choices? How can I choose the right from the wrong? How do I know when an opportunity presents itself which way to go? Please, please, tell me, O wise monk." Monk scratches his beard and looks at the man and says, "That's easy. One word." "Yes, yes," says the young man. "What is that word? Tell me." The monk leans into him and says, "Growth." "Oh, young man, I'm not getting anywhere. Okay, how do I grow? How do I mature? How do I develop in my faith? How do I become knowledgeable and wise like you? How do I have that enlightenment that you exude? Please, please tell me, wise monk." The monk says, come here. The man comes in and says, "Please, please tell me." The monk says, "Two words." What, says the young man. "Wrong choices." Growth. Growth comes from life. We go to school. We grow just not physically, but we grow in our knowledge. The multiplication tables. Science. Phys ed. We grow in our social knowledge. We grow in our knowledge of how people interact with one another, with friendships, with how we respect adults, with how we respect property. We grow. The Christian life is also one of growth. It's one of walking with Christ. It's one of repentance. For growth comes from repentance. We journey with Christ. And after our 40 days of introspection, a time we look at ourselves and say, what is the baggage we carry? What are the things that puff up our hearts? The things that lead us away from God and lead us into sinful choices. And when I say sinful choices, I mean choices that do not build people up, but tear people down. Choices that do not build relationships up, but tear relationships down. Choices that cause consternation. Choices that cause pain. Choices that cause unhealthy reactions. What things do we hold on to that cause us to make these choices? Greed, lust, a desire for power, a desire for prominence, a desire to be loved by everybody else. What is it? For all of us, it's different. But then, as we come to this period of Lent, this period of introspection, this period where we look at our lives, what is the evil one tempting us with? What areas of ourselves do we feel we need to fulfill to gain happiness? More money, more security, more love, what is it? And then, when we come to the other side, we join with Jesus, We set our foreheads towards Jerusalem, and like Christ, we crucify these things on the cross. Learn from our wrong choices. My past has many of them. Unfortunately, as a human who is in bondage to sin, I know my future will have many of them. But I pray that I learn from every one of them. That I grow in my faith and my knowledge of God. Because the more things I take to the cross, the more times I experience the forgiveness of God, and experience the forgiveness of God in you, the more I learn about God's love, the more I learn about God's grace, and the more I learn about the depth of Christ's sacrifice for me and for us. Growth. And sometimes, we might just be lucky enough in our growth to not make some of those wrong choices. A person once said, a person smarter than I am, a smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. We come together. Hopefully we are honest to one another about our sinfulness, about our mistakes. Hopefully we can seek the forgiveness of others. Hopefully we can recognize when we have erred, when we have fallen into sin, whether it's in the congregation, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. And maybe we too can learn from that. And here's the good news thing. Here's how we can be people of good news. Here is how we can leave here and hopefully have some measure of peace. Have some measure of God with us. Christ loves you. I know it sounds perfunctory. It sounds hollow. Jesus loves you. Smile. Think about how deep that is. That God loves you. That Christ loves you. You are God's beloved. The same baptism Jesus received. The heavens open up. This is my Son, my beloved. With Him I am well pleased. Applies to us. We have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. We have been gifted with a knowledge of God. We have been affirmed by God. We are loved by God. Christ did not live an easy life. Christ came into this world and He experienced the brunt of this world. Exclusion, poverty, sickness, persecution, death. But Christ was blessed and Christ had peace. Because Christ knew the author of His story and the author of our story had seen to the final chapter. Had seen to the glorious resurrection. Had seen to heaven. So what does Christ tell His earliest followers? The Son of Man must suffer and die, but on the third day He will rise. And the same holds true for us. We will suffer. We will die, but we will rise. There is the peace. There is the good news for us. To paraphrase St. Paul, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, not tanking stock markets, not wars, not rumors of wars, not droughts, not floods, not things in the past, not things to come, not medical tests, not biopsies, there is nothing between heaven and earth that can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen.